broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
We're sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives.
No, it did not. If it fired first, it was a paintball. And there were six ships in this flotilla.
As soon as he walks in the door, he is supposed to take out the things.
No, it did not. If it fired first, it was a paintball.
Perverts put out.
Are you gay?
World famous Phil Hendrick Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We thank Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray for being our guests. Thanking them for what? I don't really know why, but in any event, somewhere along the line we established, let's see, with Margaret, if you missed it, we established that Tipper Gore, she's the reason why they're splitting up, her and Al, because she couldn't keep up with the fast pace, the Hollywood life that Al was going to lead, and Tipper didn't get some surgery called vagiectomy or something like that?
No, it's called labiotomy.
Yeah, labiotomy.
A labiotomy. That is, anyway, so she's got to get with it. Tipper's got to get that. She's got to get some liposuction. She's got to get the breast enhancement. She's got to lose about 100 pounds. And then and only then will she be ready to have coffee with Oprah down in Montecito as Al talks TV with her. Because, you know, they bought that $8.8 million house there in Montecito. And,
yeah, but you know, they're going to sit down and have break and bread with Oprah. What makes them think they're going to do that?
Well, you figure if they're going to be Oprah's neighbors, man, what, you think she's not going to have them in for coffee? Of course she is.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, man. The guy's the former vice president of the United States. He's got some $8.8 million spread. And you know, that sounds, this is going to sound really crazy, folks, but for some parts of Montecito, that sounds almost cheap. You know, it doesn't...
Yeah, they got a lot of houses. They're way big, way big and everything.
Well, they may be way big. The fact of the matter is, some of those pads, man, some of those cribs, $25 million if they're a nickel. And so, anyway, and then we had Bobby Dooley on, and she was talking with us this past hour about how if you once your kid hits 18, throw them out of the house. When they're 25, they begin to populate what she and Steve did a white paper on, the bum class. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. And as I mentioned to the lads here, I could hear a couple of things during the news. And because we broadcast from the El Pacifico here, we're right at the Pacific Ocean here. And it doesn't really matter where you are. In the modern age of communication and radio, I could be broadcasting from any, I could be down the street from you guys right now. In fact, next week, I could be down the street from you. I could be doing this show from the inside of a car. I could be doing this show from a hotel room. That's the technology that radio has these days. I could go to your house and do my radio show. I could go to your front lawn and do my radio show. I mean, it sounds crazy, and I know you think I'm kidding. I'm not. It just so happens I'm out here on the edge, on the bitter edge, right on the edge, about to fall off the edge of the American continent, right out here at the El Pacifico. But if you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, you will see a photograph that I took today with my iPhone, and you will see the fog creeping in past the jetty here at the harbor at El Pacifico, and you can see the fog. We're out here on the Pacific coast, and we're in Ventura County, and if you look at a map, you'll notice that the coast begins to curve up from Los Angeles, and that little curve, well, that's where we are. And if you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, you can see this picture of the fog as it is closing in. Now, that was taken this afternoon. I don't know.
Probably about 6 or something like that.
Yeah, you come on back with a Coke on that time.
Is that when I came back with a Pepsi's?
Yeah.
All right, about 6 o'clock tonight. Now, what's funny about that, you look at that fog. About a mile inland, it's bright, blazing hot sunshine.
What do you mean?
I mean that fog only goes so far. That fog will go maybe a half a mile inland, and it'll sit there. And if you drive about 100 yards past a half a mile inland, you're in the sun. However, that having been said, as the result of that fog, you can see in that picture, during the news break, and I was remarking to Ralph, I said, do you hear a wolf howling or a foghorn? And he started to laugh. I said, no, seriously, I can hear the foghorn.
Yeah, you thought there was a wolf and everything? You're out of your mind.
It sounded like a wolf.
Yeah, well, where's it living? The wolf only live in a mountain.
It sounded like a wolf, and I realized it was a dog. Okay?
You were probably scared and everything.
I wasn't scared of a dog going, woo! I thought it was a wolf, and then I realized, you know.
Well, why would you think that the wolf?
Because I used to live in the mountains, man. I used to live in the damn canyon over there where the coyotes are yelping their guts out all night long. Don't give me that stuff about being scared.
Well, what do you mean about a wolf?
It sounded like a wolf howl. Oh, I get it, because you think we watched that Dracula today, huh?
Yeah, you're... I think you are.
We watched that stupid, asinine Well, actually, it's a good movie. Gary Oldman's in it, so it's got to be great. It is. Well, Gary's great, the rest of it... Eh. Anyway, it was Bram Stoker's Dracula, right?
Yeah, and you were saying that you thought it was pretty good.
I thought Gary was damn good. I thought the movie was sort of jackass, but nonetheless, it was okay. Anthony Hopkins was good. Well, you think I got scared of that?
Well, it is kind of weird, man. You've seen a Dracula, and now you're all, ooh, wolf and all that.
Listen, and I'm going to say this for the last time. I used to live over there in the canyon. We had coyotes morning, noon, and night. You guys know it. They were yelping their guts out. I remember the night I woke up. I'll never forget this. This was crazy. I was dreaming that there was a bunch of guys yelling and playing bad. It's like, you know how guys yell when they play basketball? Hey, come on, get the ball, right? Like that?
Yeah.
And I was dreaming this. I'm dreaming this. I'm dreaming it sort of in that semi-conscious state of, there's no real visuals. It's just a dream, hearing these voices. I'm hearing, hey, come on, right? And when I woke up, it wasn't guys playing basketball, it was coyotes. They were all, rah, 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 that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, whatever.
No.
So I'm a little cuckoo, huh?
Well.
Oh, get out of here. I dreamt that they were coyotes. So I've been hearing that coyote howling. I happen to like them. I like the way the coyotes howl. I wouldn't mind if we had a few coyotes around here. There ain't no coyotes at the beach. There'll never be any coyotes at the beach. There's no wildlife down here other than them pigeons and cats. And that's it.
Yeah, and I like the seagulls, too.
Seagulls, and we got the seals. All right. So that's what we got here, man. And it's been a foggy day, and it's a foggy night in whatever the hell it is, London town. And like I said, I heard that dog howling its guts loose here a few hours ago. And I thought, you know, that's it, man. They're coming to take me away. I don't know what's going on. And no, I wasn't scared.
Well, that movie was pretty realistic and everything.
Which one?
That Bram Stoker Dracula.
Are you guys nuts? That movie sucked. Are you kidding?
That was the best adaption I ever seen.
Are you out of your mind, Dracula wearing sunglasses and walking around in the daytime? Is that what you guys really think?
Well, it's possible.
What do you mean it's possible? Dracula ain't even possible.
What do you mean?
Dracula? Are you an idiot or something? Dracula ain't possible. What do you mean it's possible?
It's possible that Dracula, like, he can't come out, but what if he did?
What do you mean, what if he did? He put on shades? Is that it?
Yeah.
That movie was jackass, man. No Dracula flick. He's got that guy walking around in the daytime with shades on, and he's all this and he's all that about Winona Ryder. Get out of here. That flick started out cool when he was, like, swearing. See, the whole thing with the Bram Stoker Dracula that Francis Coppola did, which has nothing to do with the one that was written by Bram Stoker, and none of them ever have had anything to do with the one that was written by Bram Stoker. But this one was about this prince in Romania whose beloved, you know, this girl, his fiancée, she dies. And I believe she dies at his own hand. And he is so utterly devastated that he swears he will be God's enemy forever.
Yeah. And then he starts to get into the blood suck.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it happened. I forget how it happened.
Yeah, it's all his blood come down.
Well, in any event, just let me tell the story. Do you mind? So anyway, he swears he will be God's enemy. And that's how Dracula was born. And then he turns into a bloodsucker and he walks at night. And, you know, there you go. So I spent some time watching this asinine, stupid movie. And you guys think I'm scared because of a wolf? It was a dog. All right, coming up, the suspect in the Natalie Holloway case is being sought in a Peru killing. This is bizarre. You might even say that it is expected. You could easily say, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know, that, you know, once a killer, always a killer. If he gets a taste for it, he's going to do it again. He got away with it one time. This kid we're talking about, this Vandersloot jackass, He got away with it one time, so why not do it again? Well, that's what the cops are speculating here, and we'll give you more on Joran van der Sloot, who's being sought for a death on Sunday in Peru of a 21-year-old woman. This was the guy who was the suspect in the young Natalie Holloway case. So we'll talk about that when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The suspect in the Natalie Holloway case sought in a Peru killing. A young Dutchman previously arrested in the 2005 disappearance of Alabama teen Natalie Holloway in Aruba is the prime suspect in the weekend killing of a Peruvian woman, according to police. Oh, yeah. Joran van der Sloot. If you saw this kid and you looked through his face, you knew he was crazier than a crap house rat. And anyway, he's being sought for Sunday's death of 21-year-old Stephanie Flores in a Lima hotel, according to Police General Cesar Guardia. He said this in a news conference. So you got those Lima police, those Peru cops now chasing your ass, okay? This is not the Arubian coppers and your pops protecting you. Now you got the Peruvians. It ain't the Arubians, it's the Peruvians, and the Peruvians, I don't know whether do they have a democracy or what's going on down there?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't even know what Peru's about. I know Argentina's okay, and sort of, Chile. Is Peru still like...
You mean like they got like a general, what do they call it, generalissimo or something?
Yeah, do they have a generalissimo?
What?
Do they have a military... what's the government of Peru? Find out.
All right.
Anyway... So the general there, he says, we're looking for this guy. He said the suspect crossed into Chile the next day by bus. Authorities in Chile confirmed van der Sloot entered their country Monday and said there was no record of him leaving. You know, just as an aside, when we were traveling through the Caribbean and Marie and I came into Barbados and they ask you to put down your address in Barbados, right? And we didn't put anything down. Now, they allowed us into the country, and it's very strange. It's not strange, but it's hard for me to explain. We're in transit. We're going from Barbados to another country. We're going into St. Vincent and the Grenadines. When we land in Barbados, we got to get our bags. We got to go through all the bullcrap in Barbados. Then we got to go through, you know, the bullcrap to get into St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But there's a little tiny space there where they say, you're welcome to Barbados, man. Thank you. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going over there now to go to St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Okay, well, whatever, fine. Well, they get your address and where you're staying, right? So I said to Maria, you realize that we can go into Barbados right now and do anything the hell we want because we've got a visa to enter the country, and they won't know where the hell we are. And she said something that really made a lot of sense that scared me, and so we decided to keep going.
Well, did you go?
No, we didn't go, man, because she said something that scared the hell out of me.
What?
I forget, but it made a lot of sense, and so I didn't go. Anyway, so the authorities, and don't look at me like that, okay?
Well, you're bringing it up, man. I didn't say you didn't even do it.
No, I didn't do it, because she told me that it didn't matter if we put down the address in Aruba. They're still going to find my ass. I don't know why I wanted to stay there. Not Aruba, Barbados. I don't know why I wanted to stay there anyway. I didn't like the place at all. Authorities in Chile confirmed that van der Sloot entered their country on Monday and said there was no record of him leaving. Aha, see, that's how they know him. Police Inspector Douglas Rodriguez in Arica told the Associated Press that the cops were searching hotels and homes in northern Chile for this douchebag. Now, the killing occurred exactly five years after the May 30th, 2005 disappearance of Holloway in Aruba, according this Dutch Caribbean island, according to records. Exactly 5 years. Oh, that's spooky. That's so serial killer-like, you know.
Why?
Because they do all that jazz, man. You know, it's like trophy keeping. So they commemorate. And the reason why they keep trophies is why any human being, for instance, would keep a trophy of an animal that you killed. I mean, the emotional outlay is about the same. If you're a psychopath, you kill a human being the way the rest of us, I've heard it said, psychopaths could kill humans the way the rest of us carve a turkey.
Well, what do you mean?
Emotionally.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, don't, are you guys being stupid?
No, I don't know what you mean.
What emotions do you feel when you carve a turkey?
Sadness.
Yeah, mostly sadness.
What do you mean sadness? When do you carve a turkey?
Thanksgiving.
And you're sad?
Well, no, I'm not sad, but you said when I carved the turkey, yeah, there's a little bit of sadness, because not on account of turkey, but I know that I probably, by the time I want to get stuff, I'm not going to be there.
By the time you want to get stuffing, it's not going to be there. So you feel sad, not because of the turkey. You feel sad because you won't get stuffing.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't the same thing, man.
You asked me how I felt.
How do you feel about carving the... How do you feel about the turkey?
How do I feel about the turkey? I'm happy for it. I feel good. I'm glad. Its suffering is over.
Yeah, it left its pain down here.
It left its pain down here. The point is, we don't really feel all that much emotion when we carve a turkey. Well, the same thing with a psychopath when he kills. Now, this guy, Vandersloot, this guy is such a creep that he murdered on the anniversary of the five-year anniversary of the death of this child, Natalie Holloway. He murders another young lady, Stephanie Flores, 21 years of age. Now, I know that, innocent until proven guilty. Well, guess what? I think he's guilty. How about that? Sue me. Sue me and put me in the, arrest me and put me in the same cell with Vandersloan. Anyway, the Dutch government said Interpol has issued an international arrest warrant for Vandersloot, but Rodriguez, the Chilean police official, said authorities there had only received a request to locate his whereabouts, not an arrest warrant. So they got a request from, Peru, and Chile said the request was simply to locate, not to arrest. All right. Guardia, who is the Peruvian police official, said the 22-year-old Dutchman, Vandersloot, who was in Peru for a poker tournament, appears with the young woman in a video taken at a Lima casino early on Sunday, and the two were later seen entering the hotel by one of its employees. The victim's father, a circus impresario and former race car driver Ricardo Flores. Any of you guys ever heard of him?
Uh-uh.
He may be one of those Formula One guys. He's a circus impresario and a former race car driver, Ricardo Flores, said his daughter dropped off some girlfriends at 2:35 a.m. and then apparently returned to the casino. She and Vandersloot were seen entering the hotel room about 5 a.m., and the Dutchman departed alone about 4 hours later. We have an interview with a worker at the hotel who says she saw this foreigner with the victim entering his room. Stephanie Flores' body was found face down on the hotel room floor Wednesday. On Wednesday, okay, with abrasions to her face and her body and signs of trauma. He said that she was clothed. Asked if she had been asphyxiated, Guardia said he was waiting for autopsy results on the cause of death. Now, we're talking here about a young woman who was murdered on the 30th of May in Peru. She was last seen in the company of this guy, Vandersloot. You remember how everybody went crazy over this Natalie Holloway thing and the games that this cat and his father and the country of Aruba played to keep this guy out of jail? Well, they may have this guy dead to rights.
Read some more about it. I want to know about it.
All right. Well, what do you want me to tell you?
Well, read about it. Where do they think he is?
They think he's in Chile. But, I mean, the Chileans haven't found him yet. Don't make a joke about Chile, okay?
It was funny on the way that you said it.
Anyway, asked if she had been asphyxiated, blah, blah. He said Vandersloot left Peru on Monday by land. His exit registered at the Santa Rosa border crossing. The suspect had been staying at the hotel since May 14th after arriving on a flight from Colombia. The victim's father is a 48-year-old former president of the Peruvian Automobile Club who won the Caminos del Inca Rally in 1991 and brings circuses and foreign entertainers to Peru. He ran for vice president in 2001 and for president 5 years later. These are some background on the young woman who was murdered. A lawyer for Vandersloot, Joe Takapina, said he did not know. Well, I think that this pretty much solves that crime. How about that? Now, if the cops want to find out where that girl's body is. Now, this girl, Stephanie Flores, what the hell is wrong with my microphone all of a sudden? I think I may have a preamp going out here, Ralph, if you hear me, because the mic is just crapping right out, man. Anyway, point is that this Vandersloot, who ran everybody ragged, suddenly this... Yeah, I got a preamp that's going out of the mic. Can you hear that, Ralph? And I'm sure my listeners at home can hear that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but you know what, man? I can hear. I know a preamp that's burning out when I hear it, and this one is starting to burn out. We'll take a break. Let's take a break early, maybe roll some music there and see what we can do. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'll get him on a minute. 877-876-PHIL, website philhendryshow.com. We should find another way of describing. I shouldn't just say website. I should say... alternate media, parallel media, philhendryshow.com. On the radio, it's the Phil Hendry Show nationally, over 110 great affiliates. On the World Wide Web, philhendryshow.com. Go over and watch our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio right now. All right, what do we have here? David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication. David?
Yeah, I apologize for jumping in the middle of the program here, but I heard something and I almost had a little bit of a heart attack there, you said, but you're all right.
I'm okay. Are you talking technically?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we're fine. It was the headphones.
No, I heard that during the break because I had Bud tell me what was going on. But I'm taking a night off, and I'm meeting with some people.
Bud said you were at the Chumash Casino.
I am at the casino, yes, and I'm having meetings. And
well, he said you're... All right, I'm sorry.
Forget about where I am. I'm asking you, when you go on the air and you say you're blowing a preamp for your microphone, that's a cause of concern. Do you understand?
I understand.
And when you go on the air and you announce that to everyone, you're announcing to your audience, you're announcing to your advertisers, I'm blowing a preamp for my microphone, people think that something bad is happening. You can possibly cause a panic. The other problem we've got, as you know, is with the Obama administration, and I don't have a problem, but the Federal Communications Commission is cracking down once again on program content. So you've got to be very specific, Phil.
About what? What are you talking about the FCC?
You're coming on, you're talking about blowing a preamp.
And oh, come on, man.
I'm not the FCC. Do I look like the FCC?
No, you don't, and for you to even go there... is the most asinine thing I ever heard. Blowing a preamp, you know? It's a part of...
I know what you mean, and technical people know what you mean, and the engineers... But the average person doesn't know what you mean. Oh, hey, listen, I'm blowing a preamp. I don't know...
Oh, come on, will ya? It's slang. It sounded like we were losing the preamp. It sounded like I was losing the microphone.
And you weren't, you were not losing the microphone, by the way. You were losing your headphones, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And if you had... taken a little bit more time and had recognized what the problem was, you wouldn't have come on here and put a lot of licenses at risk.
I didn't put one license at risk. Let me say something, David, okay?
Phil.
No. Hold on. I didn't put one license at risk. Not one.
Hey, everybody, I'm blowing a preamp. How about that?
You know what, man? You're the guy. I'm going to hang up on you in about 5 seconds.
Why?
Because you're coming on here with a big load of nothing. Now, I thought that we were... how about that, losing the preamp?
Well, all right. To me, that sounds scatological.
What do you mean, scatological?
It sounds bathroom.
Losing the preamp?
Yeah. Sounds like some kind of a, you know, bathroom.
All right, David, you know...
Look, Phil, I didn't make this world, you know. It's your world, Chief. You know, I'm just picking the garbage up in it.
No, it ain't my world. Not when you call up, it ain't my world. It's your world. All right.
How do you figure it's my world?
It's your world when I say I'm blowing a preamp and suddenly you're hearing FCC license violations and all kinds of fines.
Any reasonable person would...
No, they wouldn't. And I'll tell you something else, too. I thought I had a problem with the preamp. I've got to let my engineer know. Do you understand? Because I don't know if I'm going to have any communication with him. I don't know whether he needs to get some technical assistance here right away so that we can fix this problem, whether somebody's got to bring a piece of equipment, what the situation is. Okay? Or I could just let the microphone fail and my audience is going, what the hell happened to him?
That would have been better. People always hang around to find out. You know how they say dead air is bad? I don't think dead air is bad at all. I think some of the most compelling radio on Earth is just dead air.
Nothing on the... Just total dead air.
Total dead air. I think it's bad. I think it's wonderful. It's marvelous. I love listening to it for two reasons. Number one, I think it just keeps people listening because they want to know, is there ever going to be another sound made on that station? And number two, for a blessed few seconds, I don't have to listen to guys like you.
And oh, thanks a lot, man.
Now you guys are driving me crazy morning, noon, and night. And the idea that maybe the world exists, maybe radio exists without guys like you, makes me feel good. But the fact, of course I'm kidding.
No, you're not kidding. He's not kidding, folks.
Yes, I am kidding.
No, he isn't, folks. He really does feel that way.
Well, the point that I was making was that I would wish you'd take a little bit more care. It was not a preamp. It was your headphones. And people should know that.
I told people that.
No, you didn't. You came right on with me.
During I told my videocast people.
Well, isn't that nice? Not everybody's watching the videocast. And number two, watch your language. Oh, yeah, hey, everybody, guess what? I'm blowing a preamp.
I did not say that. I said it sounds to me like we're blowing a preamp.
That sounds worse. That sounds worse. Hear my voice is cracking? The other thing I want...
All right, so thanks a lot for that, bud.
Well, he said, what am I supposed to do, tell he can't go on the radio?
That's the most jackass conversation. I've had a lot of them with that guy, man, but that takes the cake. FCC violation. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. What's happening, and as David in his most hysterical manner, I'm not losing the preamp to the microphone. What's happening is... The connection to my headphones is going out, so naturally I'm hearing an intermittent sound of audio dropping, but you guys aren't hearing it. Everything's fine with you, and everything's fine with the engineers, and everything's fine with the world. Only Phil Henry is going deaf in one ear. British Airways red-faced over faux image of bin Laden boarding pass. Now, obviously, this is some kind of a gag, and it went wrong. It went real wrong. Now, I'm trying to figure out, did this actually reach the eyes of the general public? Or, as they said, I believe, in one part of this article, did this just reach the eyes of the employees of British Airways, erstwhile BOAC?
What's that mean?
British Overseas Air Carrier.
Are you kidding me, man? That's what they used to call that?
That's what they used to call it, the British Overseas Air Carrier.
That's the dumbest. That's stupid.
Well, they changed it to British Airways. Anyway... it just seems like a bad time for any firm with the word British in its title. We know all too well, writes the people at Yahoo, the various setbacks experienced by the oil giant, once known as British Petroleum. Once known? What does that mean, once known as British Petroleum? Anyway, now British Airways has drawn much unwelcome attention to itself with a photo touting its new mobile boarding pass system as it appears to expedite the air travel of Osama bin Laden. That's right. The photo appeared in the LHR News, the company's internal staff magazine. So it's an internal staff magazine. It's not intended for the eyes of the public. It covers London's Heathrow Airport. So LHR News is the news for the employees in a magazine form of BA.
BA or BO, it's BS.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Thank you for saving that.
You're welcome.
In any event... The photo appeared in LHR News. The image accompanied an article spelling out the benefits of the mobile boarding setup, which permits users of mobile digital devices to print out their boarding passes on the fly. It doesn't matter what it does. It allows you to come in and do what you need to do to get the hell on the plane. The boarding pass reads Bin Laden Osama and appears in the graphic panel of the user's iPhone. Now, the image features a frequent flyer number, which means that Osama bin Laden must be a frequent flyer, and that must mean that he has obviously... gotten around all of those terror watch lists, and he's been frequent flying on BO airways for a long time. So here is how Yahoo turns this into a much bigger story than it ought to be. They say, well, you know, on October the 26th, 2010, because this is when the boarding pass in the ad has Osama bin Laden flying, And that is the 26th of October, 2010. They go, well, on 26th of October, 2010, there's going to be a red hot terror alert. All right. How did this happen? Well, the short answer, as provided by a British Airways spokeswoman for ABC, telling ABC News, said that, quote, a mistake has been made in this internal publication. We're working to find out how this occurred. And in response to a follow-up call from Yahoo News, another spokeswoman for the airline remained firmly on message, saying we're still working to find out how this occurred. Yahoo, I don't know how to tell you this, but you just don't have a story, man. It's an internal magazine, an internal publication for the workers and so forth of British Airways. You don't have a story. You don't have a scoop. You're still Yahoo News. You still suck.
Well, what do you mean? If they got Osama bin Laden?
This is for people that work for BO Airways, okay?
Yeah, in other words, like the flight attendant, they know it's fake.
Oh, so they know it's fake.
Yeah, it's a magazine for the people that are the actual employees of British Airways. So, all right, so the name Osama bin Laden is there. They're not going to flip out and panic. They're not people that fly. They're not commercial passengers. They're not the public, okay? This was not for public consumption. It was for internal consumption. Now, you can make the argument, yeah, okay, it's a little bit in bad taste, but this is where we have, you know, I've tried to tell you guys this a million times. Figure out what really is news and figure out what some group like AOL, Yahoo, ABC, figure out what some people are trying to make into news, you know?
Yeah, you saying that about, like, Diane Sawyer, and she was trying to be news.
What are you talking about, Diane Sawyer?
When she was drunk.
What did I say about her?
You said she got drunk to be news.
No, I didn't.
Well, you sort of did. You said she got hammered so they'd pick it up on the next day's news feed.
If I said that Diane Sawyer got hammered on TV so they'd pick it up on the next day's news feed, man, I hope you guys at some point, not now, but I hope at someday you assassinate me. That's the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
All right. You said it.
Yeah, you said it.
You're idiots. I never said any such thing. Diane Sawyer got hammered so they'd pick it up in the next day's news feed. What I'm telling you is this. Some news agencies make stories into news because they don't have anything to report, because they've never broken a story, because nobody notices Yahoo News or A-hole News or Google News or any of these other news. So they got to come up with a story that people are going to say, oh, wow, I read this on Yahoo. This is really heavy. This is not a news story, Yahoo. Strike two. Okay? Next one, swung on and a miss, you're out. China was strike one. This story is strike two. Google Buzz is strike three. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show, back in a moment. Phil Henry Show on Twitter at twitter.com/Phil Henry Show, or you can follow me on my personal Twitter page. Not that it's any big deal. It's just, you know, actually the Phil Henry Show Twitter page is better because it's kept by our staff. Or you can follow me on my own personal Twitter page, which I probably will jump on after the show and say a couple of crude things and then split, which is twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. By the way, if you go to the homepage of our website, you'll see that today is our English curse word day. So enter into our, you know, the comment section, some English curse word like sawed off or bugger that.
Oh, I told you not to do it.
Well, I took a shot and I did it.
I don't know, man.
Well, who cares? Go over and check it out. God, you guys you're freaking me out, man.
They're going to get you in trouble with that.
Oh, the hell, they're going to get me in trouble with that. They're going to get me in any trouble with anything. All right. So head on over to our website and check that out, and check us out on Twitter. Just a couple of things to mention here. Boy, this headphone is driving me out of my mind.
Here, let me see it.
Don't. You're going to break it worse, man. This Israeli thing, this flotilla thing, somebody somewhere needs to get a life and pass it on, okay? Israel, they're doing their thing, okay? Don't worry about it. It's nobody's freaking business. What do you think of that? Some guys are trying to run the blockade. Some people are, they said, stay out. Anybody that sends people in, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just smarter than the average person. But I've watched Israel and how they operate over the years. When they say stay out, they mean it. When they say stay out, they mean it. When you can be a reporter. You can be, who's that woman who thought she was God's gift to reporters, that Amy Goodman? Why don't you try running an Israeli blockade, Amy? Watch them part your hair for good. You won't be around to make a complaint to anybody. The Israelis don't even screw around, and they don't care what anybody thinks either, because they've got a country of 5 million people on a spit of sand that they've tried to turn into something, and because the rest of the world is so gutless, they've made these 5 million Jews the Gestapo, and 500 million Arabs are the oppressed. Only a complete and utter fool, a blithering idiot, would buy into that logic. Some jackball in the New York Times writes, you know, what was it? It was just one of those marvelously floral, meaningless things. It was, it just goes to show you that even all the power in the world can't stop an idea. Well, what idea is that? You mean all the power in the world can't stop the idea of killing Jews? Or is it that all the power in the world can't stop the idea of Palestinians killing each other? Maybe that's it. Or, I got it. All the power in the world can't stop the grand idea of Hamas butchering up their own people and making it look like Israel did it. How about that? Or how about...
none of that stuff makes any sense. I think that they ought to do is drop a bomb.
Yeah, that, to me, that would be solved. The problem, drop the A-bomb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, drop the A-bomb.
Well, they're going to use it in the Gulf.
They're not going to use the A-bomb in the Gulf, you jackass.
That, they said that was an option, but they're not going to do it?
No, they ain't going to do it. A nuclear blast? What is that going to do? What would be the result? If they used some sort of, even a limited nuclear device of some kind to seal that hole, I don't think they could predict with absolute certainty what a nuclear blast would do to the seafloor. I don't know if they sealed the oil in one place, if they might create cracks someplace else. I have no idea. I mean, they'd have to really control that, you know?
Yeah, but the other thing is they would not have a mushroom cloud or anything. And
well, they have mushroom water or something.
Oh, get out of here, mushroom water.
Well, I don't know. They've done that?
Yeah, they've had underground and they've had underwater nuclear blasts, and I actually saw the filming of an underwater nuclear blast, and it was like this massive tsunami, just, you know, I can't even explain it. It was pretty heavy, but I don't think that that's going to be the case. Now, getting back to Israel, dropping an A-bomb, why don't you get out of here? Get real, get a life, okay? It ain't going to happen. But if you think for one second that the Israelis are going to just allow, because the world is putting pressure on them, allow a security risk to their country, it isn't going to happen. When's the world going to get the when's the world going to get the news? What's happening here is they're forcing the world to take, and I don't blame them. They're forcing the world to take sides. The Israelis want to know who's with them and who's against them. They're not doing anything other than defending their country. They're Jews. They were shoved into ovens 60 years ago. Get it? Only people that haven't had that experience can say something like, oh, why don't they forget that? That's ancient history. Only idiots that have never lived anywhere near the life of terror and deprivation and horror and humiliation and disgrace that a people might have lived like the Jews of Europe or, yes, the blacks of 19th century America. Only people that don't know anything about it run their big fat mouths about how everybody ought to forget it. They're not going to lay, they're not laying down for Hamas. They're not laying down for the Brits. They're not laying down for the EU and those weak-kneed, lily-livered people. They're not laying down for a bunch of American progressives and all those gutless New York Jewish people who compare their own people to the Gestapo who ought to know better. They don't care. They're not laying their country. They're not going to allow their country. They're not going to allow their country that severe a security breach just to make a bunch of pains in the ass happy. It isn't going to happen. Now, I saw that tape, and I know what went down. These fools who realized they were running a blockade, a military blockade. So they realized what they were doing. And they thought that the marvelousness of their action and the glowing grooviness of it would not have, the Israelis wouldn't do anything. Well, of course they're going to do something. They came on board, and they were immediately attacked. And the Israelis drew their sidearms, and they shot a few people. And does it look like I'm squirting tears for any of those fools? No. And whoever sent them in there, whoever is responsible for sending those people in there, for sending those people in to run a blockade, a military blockade, that son of a bitch ought to be drowned. Now, that's the long and the short of it, man. That's how that works.
That's okay with me, Mr. Henry. Can you sign some autographed pictures?
Yeah, I'll sign some autographed pictures. Which, by the way, we got to get some more of those pictures because people have been asking for those, right?
Yeah, I got a call. I got some people here want you to autograph. And here, autograph this.
That's a picture of you.
Well, I don't have any of you.
Well, I ain't autographing a picture of you. Go get some other pictures. World famous Phil Henry show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Tomorrow morning, I'll be doing a pre-record with Jerry Agar of CFRB Radio in Toronto. Very happy to be on the air in Canada once again. And on our website at philhenryshow.com, we'll have the download of tonight's show available tomorrow. As a matter of fact, it may be available sometime in the early morning hours of like right now. When I say tomorrow, you know what I mean? When the sun comes up. Our show produced by me, Phil Henry, and our technical director, Ralph Rodriguez, later on.
What about Jason?
He's sick.
Phil Henry.